Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving break. I sure did. Most of us, everyone I've talked to, seemed to enjoy it thoroughly. And we're excited to be back at the radio talking to you about industry issues. So much to talk about, especially after this election. A lot of people are going, what the heck are we going to be doing now? We've got another 4 more years of Obama in this administration. CFPB is not going away. More regulation. A lot of people are saying, can I make a difference? Is there anything we can do? Just throwing their hands up. That is not the case. There's absolutely something we can do. And I'm excited to have on the broadcast later on during the Hot Topics segment, Mike Anderson, someone who has been out there making a substantial difference with the National Association of Mortgage Brokers, NAMBI. And I just can't wait to get him on and talking with him about that. Also, a special thank you goes out to our sponsors who are a part of the broadcast, Ala Mode, as well as everyone else who's our regulars on the broadcast for making this possible. Really appreciate that so much. I want to go to Molly Willis, who's on the broadcast with us right now. Molly has been a faithful listener. So, listeners, when you walk up to me at a conference or someone introduces you as a regular listener on the broadcast, it could land you on the broadcast because that's exactly what happened at the National Mortgage Bankers Conference. I'm sitting at a MIAC conference, at a MIAC reception, and, several people are introducing themselves. I didn't know a lot of people there, and I'd never met Molly before. She was there, and a good friend of mine, Tim Hood, who invited me to go to this dinner, was saying, hey, Dave, there's this gal talking about your radio program down at the end of the table. You got to meet her. And so I went over, and she was talking. I said, what radio program are you talking about? She said, well, there's this radio program I listen to every week. It's so good. And I said, what's the name of it? And she said, well, it's Lincoln on Lending. So I said, well, would you like to meet the host? And I said, I introduced myself. So it got a good response. And Molly, I just want to welcome you to the broadcast. Good to have you join
us. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's a real pleasure and a real honor. But first of all, let's get the name of your company out. You're with GMFS LLC.
That is correct, out of Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In fact, Mike is from Louisiana. So we got, kind of the Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, well represented on this broadcast today. Molly, give us a little background on your company just briefly. I know you're Ginnie Mae approved, also Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac seller approved. Give us a little information. Tell our listeners about one of our listeners.
Absolutely. We've been around since 1999, so been through the good, the bad, the ugly, and we are selling directly to the agencies, retaining most of our servicing today, and we do about 50% wholesale correspondent lending, and the rest is retail.
Well, it is good to have you on the broadcast and to have one of our listeners live with us here for a few minutes. So tell us, how did you first hear about the broadcast?
I had moved from a large company to GMFS, and I was looking for resources to help me, keep up with all the industry changes. And I was lucky enough to stumble upon the podcast, and I was immediately hooked. And I've been telling many of my colleagues, as you know, about the show ever since. And I don't miss a Monday.
Well, I appreciate that so much. And, one of the things that I always wonder is what keeps people coming back? Because we are now over, I just looked at the statistics, we've had over 124,000 downloads of our broadcast here recently, unique downloads. I mean, we're averaging somewhere between 20 to 30 listeners, 1,000 listeners each month, new listeners that are joining in on the broadcast. So it's obviously ringing true, but what is it that keeps you coming back?
Well, you guys do such a good job of pulling together the important issues facing our industry, and you present them in an interesting and compelling and positive manner, and I enjoy listening to it because it helps me prioritize myself for the week and get to hear experts on different topics and hear their opinion. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, we appreciate you being a loyal listener and taking a few minutes to come on. You recently attended an MBA conference, Independent Mortgage Banking Conference, up in Dallas. I wanted to ask you a couple questions about that because you said this conference was unique. First of all, you said one thing I remember you said when we talked is that you said everyone attended all the sessions. Give us a little bit of a feedback on that conference and why you thought it was so significant.
You know, I really enjoyed the meetings in Dallas. I thought the agenda was terrific, and I liked that the venue was small enough that we were able to have real meaningful Q&A, and the topics were definitely targeted towards the independent mortgage banker. So it really gave us the opportunity to narrow the focus of the session. So it was very valuable for me as an independent mortgage banker.
Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. I know how busy you are, and we've been trying to schedule you to get on the broadcast, and there's been for a couple of weeks now. And so it has I just appreciate, first of all, you taking a moment and sharing with our listeners and letting our listeners to hear about another listener. I thought to hear from another listener. I thought that'd be valuable. So.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all you guys do.
Well, I got to ask you, is there a favorite segment, or are they all favorite? Now, Joe and Alice and Andy's listening. Everyone's listening, so you can't really get away with.
Yeah,
you
can't put me on the spot here. you have to pay attention to them all in our world.
Isn't that the truth? It's so, so true. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Greet everyone there. You got a great group of people at your company, and we've enjoyed working with you guys, and it's a real honor to have you as a listener, and we'll just continue to do our best to keep you updated on everything going on, Molly.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. It is always good to have our listeners join us and like this. And if you're a listener and want to get on the broadcast, I'd love to hear from you. We want to hear these stories. We want to bring these testimonies on and saying what is it that we're doing right. It's obviously working because we're certainly getting a lot of people listening to the broadcast. Joe Farr, it's good to have you on the broadcast. You are always giving us invaluable updates.
Well, thank you.
What's going on in the market? So let's get into talking about what is happening today. MBS prices are up a little bit.
Yeah, they're up nicely today. Yeah, we're up about 12, 30 seconds today. Unfortunately, the stock market's off a little bit today, and they seem to be reacting, you know, in opposite ways to the same old stuff. You're going to hear a theme throughout my presentation this week that everything is focused on the fiscal cliff issues and issues in Europe. And over the weekend, I guess what was growing optimism the prior week kind of turned around, and
yeah,
MBS prices are up, reversing all the reduction in prices last week. And the stock market's given back some of their gains. The stock market had a real nice gain last week on some optimism. So, the fiscal cliff and Europe, when you have, especially in Europe, when you have 2 days to pull together information on things going on over there, are going to may make Mondays a very volatile day for some time to come.
So volatility and, let's just get it said, because you know I'm going to say it. What do you do when you need volatility? Where do you go when you got volatility? MBS quote line, go there.
There you go.
We got to go there. Okay, so let's talk about what we can look forward to. Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit more about last week. There was quite a bit of changes there. And
the stock market had a very nice week, a 400-point rise. Now, that's following a week before that where there was a bigger fall. But, you know, it's all about what people believe is going to happen. With the fiscal cliff and with Europe. And last week there was optimism growing that the two parties were going to find some way to work together, and I think that's still going to be the case. But there's just so much riding on those two issues. The economic news that comes out, you know, last week we had good housing data. Both existing home sales and housing starts exceeded expectations. They were higher than the prior month. Jobless claims continued to be elevated, so that wasn't so good. But the economic data is running, you know, second to the issues that go along with Greece and all of Europe and the fiscal cliff. There is a chance we're going to hear something on Greece very soon, David. They're meeting today, right now, and the decision may be made to go ahead and lend them the money today. It could be that it's not made until next week. it's just that one little bit of uncertainty that can be eliminated here pretty quickly. But until then, it's going to be hanging out there as an issue that could really move the market one way or the other.
All eyes seem to be on Europe and now the Middle East. I mean, so the Middle East is another volatile situation that's going to enter into it.
But, no question about that.
What do we have on the coming up this week as far as the economic calendar, Joe?
Yeah, durable orders comes out tomorrow. Yeah. It's been very volatile. I was looking at the last 3 weeks. It was like a 13% rise 1 week and a 12% fall, not the week, but 2 months ago. And then last month it was a fall or a rise. This week it's anticipated to be basically flat. So I don't think anyone's going to look too hard at that as a driver of mortgage rates. New home sales and Fed's page book comes out on Wednesday. Surprisingly, there's an expectation that the third quarter GDP is going to be revised up from 2 to 2.8. And
wow.
I was talking to Dan about that, and he said, the market doesn't really care about that because much of the increase is basically borrowing business from the fourth quarter. There was buildup in inventories. And so it's not being considered as, hey, this is a great sign of economic growth. And then pending home sales comes out on Thursday. Core PCE and Chicago PMI comes out on Friday. And then we have the 2, the 5, and the 7-year Treasury auction starting on Tuesday, going to Wednesday and Thursday. So there's a lot going out. But again, every little nuance that's reported about the fiscal cliff, number one, and Europe, number two, are going to drive what's happening in the market. There is a sense that, we're running out of time here in the U.S. to fix the fiscal cliff. And as a result, I think people are growing concerned. I guess a very likely scenario is that they're going to buy more time by simply saying, all right, everything, let's just extend it for 6 more months.
Yeah, the continuing to kick the can down the road does not help the market stabilize. We're just always feeling like, what's next? When is this going to ever get dealt with? I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Joe? I mean, this could
have some... I think that's the likely outcome. Now, I was doing a little bit of looking around, and everyone's talked about the tax rates going up and the tax revenue increasing,
right.
All that's coming out of individuals' pockets, spending cuts. Again, all in an effort to balance the budget, but there are jobs associated with that. But then other things start kicking in, like the extended unemployment benefits that go along from the federal programs get shut off on December 31st, which would mean millions of people would see an immediate cut in basically their only source of income. All the tax holiday that you and I and every wage earner has enjoyed from the reduction in the Social Security taxes goes away. The CBO estimates that if the fiscal cliff is not avoided, if it were to happen, we're going to see a recession and we're going to see unemployment climb back up to like 1.9%. So, there is a lot of very, very interested people in this getting done, and because of all the human aspects of it, something's going to happen to where that's not going to happen.
At some point in time, they've got to deal with it. But we've been saying if we get another 4 more years of Obama, we're going to probably get the same old result. What have they been doing? They've been kicking the can down the road for months upon months upon months, years. And so I don't know that we're going to see that anticipating change. So, Joe, keep us up to date. And, a lot of our listeners want to hear what your opinion is. So, I mean, just get out there on a limb, saw it off.
All right.
Get out there and give us your thoughts on it. Appreciate
you. Well, I would say this, if the fiscal cliff, if we go over the fiscal cliff, it might be good for mortgage rates.
Yeah. Yeah. As if we can go, how low can we go, as Limbo song goes. How low can you go? So, man, I don't know. That's interesting, Joe. Thank you so much for bringing us an update. Again, of the volatility, you got to have MBS Quote Line. You want to learn how do you get signed up? Stay tuned. Listen to this message. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you back. And remember, we got Mike Anderson, who has been so instrumental working with motivating the industry to take action. We're going to have him later on the broadcast. Definitely stay tuned. It was Alice, it was good to hear Molly. And one of the things that she told me, she says, I'm driving along to listen to Alice's segment, and I'm driving, and it's like I pull over the road, and I make notes, and I drive a little bit further, pull over, because you have so much to share. And I'm looking at your notes right now up here on my screen. There's a lot to talk about, so let's get into it.
Well, it's interesting because it's really just – it's two big things that I really want to make sure our listeners are aware of. And the first one being the state of the MMI fund for FHA, so the Mutual Mortgage Insurance Fund. The actuarial study was published, and I've had a chance now to take a look at it. And Dave Stevens of the MBA published a letter to all the members that I thought was well-written and had some good – highlight points. I want for our listeners to kind of help them get a little bit of an understanding of what all of this means, because you hear in the report that, of course, that the fund is now negative, or this the capital reserve calculation is considered to be a negative 1.44%. But you go, I don't know what that means. You know, what does that mean? Am I still going to be able to close FHAs next week? Right?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. I mean, the fund is absolutely supported by the U.S. Treasury, so none of this absolutely means that, you know, FHA is going to be out of business. But certainly what it means is FHA has to continually come up with plans to change. And this has to get paid attention to, which, of course, with fiscal cliff, who's paying attention to FHA right now? Now, maybe if you're an originator, you're happy about that, because on their list of things that have to change is increasing the monthly MIP. They have said it will go up 10 basis points in the first quarter of 2013, so get yourself ready for that. Get those FHAs closed now then, right, is kind of
right.
Impetus for that. So essentially when we talk about the what is going on with the capital reserve, it's FHAs, it's the estimated economic net worth of the MMI fund. And one of the factors in that is house price appreciation. So this number took a turn for the worse because we haven't had the price appreciation that was done in the 2011 study. It's all about estimating and trying to predict the future.
Right.
And if you look at the chart, Dave, I think I sent you a copy of the chart.
Yes, you did. I have it, yes.
What do you think about their appreciation estimates for from 2013 to 14 to 15? If you look at the chart, I know you can see they're expecting by 2014 everybody's sitting up somewhere around a 5% appreciation rate. 2015 it's at 8. 2016 it's at 13% appreciation.
Those numbers, the Case-Shiller report's coming out, I think, a little bit later this week about the price appreciation projections, and who did these numbers? I'm trying to read the fine print down here.
They get it from Moody's Analytics, July 2012. But then, of course, they predict the future, and they just set a trend line, and this trend line looks like a very steep upward movement. They do that every year in the report. I mean, that's nothing new. I talked about it last year, and that's the part that's always disconcerting to me is when we try and say what is the future of FHA. They're very much hinged on house price appreciation.
Yeah.
At least now they've said it's going to stay stable through 2013. We'll see what happens for next year's study. So
well,
I don't know.
I love the optimism. I mean, to think that we could have this kind of appreciation, that's possible. I did a Fox segment last week on the values and the latest, you know, home sales data and builder data, and it's fascinating to hear the optimism as I read all the reports getting ready for it. I'm just not buying in on the optimism because we don't have the first-time home buyer back in it, Sal. So,
okay.
I think
I agree. I don't know. I think it just looks, it's very optimistic. So our consequences then are this 10 basis point change. It will happen in the first quarter of 2013. So now that they've reported that to Congress, it's going to happen. Here's the other thing that you have to watch for is they're looking at eliminating the ability of anybody in the future to cancel the MIP. In other words, there won't be a 78% drop point for MIP going forward.
Right.
Now, don't everybody panic and start running out and telling your realtors today, you know, I mean, this has got to go through a rules process, and it'll be sometime at the beginning of next year you can expect that you won't have to explain potential cancellation provisions for MIP. It'll be on there for the life of the loan. They are really looking at HECM requirements. There are a lot of problems with the HECM program, and they've actually listed off several major change, and they use the term blunt. There are going to be blunt changes to reverse mortgage programs, limiting the draw at the origination to a mandatory, to just mandatory obligations like closing costs, lien, and other federal debt. They're not going to let the customer take the entire upfront anymore. They're going to look at establishing a tax and insurance set aside. You know, so there's truly been some problems with the idea that there's a no qualifying component for a borrower in a reverse mortgage, and they're going to definitely make some changes to that. They're looking at all kinds of changes, so we'll watch that for you as the year goes on. So that's the biggest thing about the MMI fund right now.
Well, that's a good update and good perspective, because a lot of people are going, what does this really mean? There you go, folks, right
now
from
Now I'm
going
to read the report. One last thing, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau on Advertising. I have talked about this, folks. You have got to check all your ads. I had a loan officer come up to me after a training class the other day, had put a print ad in just the a publication that just goes out to the Detroit Symphony Orchestra Society, you know, a small group. And she goes, how's this ad look? I'm going, yeah, it's really pretty, but you know what? You don't have your NMLS ID number in there. You say about three things that are potentially in compliance with this new MAP Act. And so CFPB has already sent warning letters. Between CFPB and FTC, they've sent out about 20 warning letters for companies' ads that are not in compliance with this. You have got to check your advertising. Now, you might think, oh, they're just going after the guys who pretend to be the VA, but it's not just those types of ads. This is a long checklist, folks, to make sure you've got the right stuff in an ad. You can't just say simple statements anymore of, you know, you're going to have no payments on a reverse mortgage, because they say, you know what, you might have payments. You have tax and insurance payments. You can't indicate somebody's pre-approved for anything. You have to even be careful with just using the term fixed rate for 30 years, and then you're not quoting the exact rate you're offering for a 30-year program. They're really diving into the nitty-gritty of this. So
be careful,
your just definition of misleading is different from theirs.
Yeah, MAPS is an acronym for, again, Alice?
The Mortgage Acts and Practices. So this is our Regulation N that went into effect in August. And it is pages and pages of things to check in your advertising. And remember, social media and websites are all included in that.
All included. And you have to advertise your advertising going back how many years?
You know what? Off the top of my head, this is either a 3 or a 5 year window that you have to retain your records. Yep.
Well, we'll get that updated. We'll get the official 3 to 5 year range down by next broadcast, maybe.
But okay.
I know it's a lot longer, and I don't know many that are doing this. So, Alice, thank you so much for bringing us an update. Always fascinating, and at times I find myself biting my nails as.
Should I go be a Walmart greeter?
No. Well, you do it so well that giggle would work well, but I think that would be just slightly. Well, we won't say anything because a Walmart greeter might be offended. But anyway,
those of us in the business who get stressed out about it. You go, you know, do I need this much stress with all this compliance?
Yeah.
You go, yeah, you all know you love it.
it's so true. But a lot of people I got some texts coming in, Alice. For those that want to get a copy of this graph and any of that, they can go to. Could they email you? Ask you for it.
Yes. If they wanted the information from the that I wrote up about the MMI fund or on the CFPB and the mortgage action practices, just send it to Alvey at mortgage-u.com, and I'll send you what I have.
Thank you, Alice. Good to have you with us. And if you want to learn more, stay tuned. I will share this with you right now.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
Welcome back, everybody. Remember, we've got Mike Anderson coming on the broadcast just a little bit later, but it's a profit doctor.
Hey, Dave.
He is here in the house doing house calls. So give us the word today, profit doctor. What should we be focusing on?
Hey, Dave. Well, great to be on the show, as always, is Raise the Roof. A couple of quick thoughts. One, on what Alan was talking about, the home price appreciation. What's really interesting to me about all that is that what ultimately at some point is going to happen with all of this debt is that we're going to have inflation kick in at some point. Don't know when, because it should have already happened, but it hasn't, and it's not because we've got a demand for people wanting to invest in dollars because we're the best place to be in the whole world.
Yeah, we're the least worst, as Joe said. We're the least worst place to be, so.
We're the lesser of two evils. Yeah. So, but what happens when rates go up? Buyer affordability drops. As buyer affordability drops, then appreciation gets capped as well because people can't buy more expensive homes. So there's just a whole bunch of factors that go into that, and I'm glad it is stable. I hope it appreciates like they say. We will see. A couple quick things, Dave.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just...
Good. One other thing is that I've got an amazing opportunity, Dave, that I wanted to tell people about, and that is that we've been hired by a commercial bank in Texas. A commercial bank in Texas is very well run, very solid commercial bank that has a mortgage operation, and they want to expand their mortgage operation. They want to make it bigger than it already is. It's already a nice, respectable operation. They want to take it up to, you know, $1 billion a year. And they're looking for the right person to come lead the mortgage division. So if you're a mortgage person good at leading a mortgage operation, has some experience working with a commercial bank and want a career opportunity, an opportunity of a lifetime to come and take this opportunity and take a commercial bank's mortgage division and grow it. Everybody wants to be the branch of a commercial bank. Well, now's the opportunity to be the head of the mortgage division that's going to be attracting all the branches to come in to be part of the commercial bank. It's a great place to be, a great opportunity. It's available. If you're interested, please contact us at HR, Human Resource, HR at mbs-team.com, mbs-team.com, HR at mbs-team.com. We look forward to resumes of interested people who want to hear more about becoming the president of a commercial bank's mortgage lending division, retaining, servicing, Fannie, Freddie, hedging, all that stuff can be part of your future. How's that for an ad, Dave?
Very, very good ad. Yeah, they're a profit doctor. Good stuff.
One last thing from the profit doctor. It's coming up on December. We're going to be December next Lickin' on Lending is going to be December. And one of the things that you have to do in December is you have to deal with all your tax planning issues. You can't do your tax planning adjustments in January because then it's going to be 2013. You have to do it during 2012. So in terms of managing revenue, managing expense, incurring expense, you've got to deal with all of that now. And for a lot of folks, they report tax on a cash basis. So it's not like you can just post the entry and hope it works okay. You actually have to have implemented the actual transaction, cleared the bank to be official if you ever got audited. So tax planning is now. Tax planning is important. It's important to get that taken care of. Make sure your controller CFO is on point with this. Circle back with your accountant to see what last-minute adjustments they would recommend for all the owners that are going to be receiving big distributions, K-1 reporting, whatever the structure is for people. Now's the time to take care of this. So don't forget, it's going to happen quickly. The last 2 weeks of the year, pretty much not much happened. So we really only have 2 more weeks in the whole rest of 2012 to deal with this. Tax planning's time to talk now. take care of it now. It's going to be too late.
Get it now. Andy, thank you so much for bringing us the latest report. Appreciate it. That's it
for
the Profit
Dave.
Doctor. You want to learn more? Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back with us, everybody. We've got Tony Garitano on the phone line bringing us some updates. Tony, I don't know what's going on with my technology. I'm just here using my Word document. All of a sudden it says Word head to end, unexplainably. So I'm going, boy, I'm glad Tony's on the call with us. He can solve all my problems here. But you don't want to do that. Let's talk about how can collaboration improve your business. So you've got some collaboration ideas here?
Well, I found this survey, Dave, that kind of reinforces the value of collaboration that I thought would be interesting. I mean, it's called Meetings Around the World, the Impact of Collaboration on Business Performance.
Ah.
And what they surveyed 950 IT people and business decision makers and companies in the U.S., Europe and Asia Pacific, and the companies had to make more than $6.5 million each in annual revenue.
Mm.
And they asked them about collaboration, and I thought the responses were really telling. The survey found that collaboration in these companies accounted for 36% of their overall business performance.
Wow,
and that's
significant.
Isn't that amazing?
That is interesting. That's
and collaboration. Mm-hmm.
I think we're finding that more and more collaboration is going on. I think the industry has gotten so much more complicated that you just can't do everything in-house anymore. So you're collaborating with third parties like Alice and Joe and Andy and all the rest of us out there trying to be these third-party services. So, okay, so let's bring this to technology. Let's talk about, you know, how can electronic collaboration improve the business, our businesses?
Well, I think that with the emphasis on XML data standards, it's much easier for companies to collaborate with yourself or Alice or any of the different participants on the radio show or even just in the mortgage ecosystem in a more seamless fashion. I mean, the trend now, it used to be that you would collaborate or you would electronically link to everyone.
Yeah.
And the LOS that had the most integrations was the better product. But the problem with those integrations, Dave, is that they were not very tight. They were not very seamless. And, you know, obviously they were put together rather quickly because the name of the game was the number of integrations, not the quality of the integrations.
Yeah, not the quality, yeah.
And that is a trend that I'm seeing reversing. You're seeing that instead of touting that I integrate to everyone and their brother, LOS vendors are touting that they have deeper integrations with a few providers that lenders know and trust. So that way, when you talk about things like transparency and data integrity and electronic collaboration, it's really possible now to do so in a much more seamless way than in the past because to your point, I think lenders realize they can't do it on their own, and technology vendors realize that too.
Well, the hill that they have to climb to stay compliant with everything is almost impossible. I mean, I've got this vision of how Alice Alvey should be embedded in everyone's technology, where you have a compliance question, up pops Alice's smiling little giggly face, and she goes, "Hello, everybody. Now, if you don't want to do this, you want to do this, and don't touch that, and do this." And I mean, I can see how collaboration is going to be such an important part. But picking the right collaboration partner is going to be the challenge, but I know how they can find out more information about this, Tony. Do you know how I know?
How do you know?
Because I know you, and I know the website, www.progressinlending.com. That's how I know. You can. You do not have to be having a guessing game, because we got guys like you out there studying all that's going on, Tony, to keep us up on all of this. Thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Always a pleasure. Tony Garitano, founder of Progress in Lending, can be reached by emailing him at tony@progressinlending.com or at his phone number, 203-529-3131. Tony, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs.
And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Good to have you back with us. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. And I am excited when we get to have special guests on the program like we have right now. We've got Mike Anderson, who is CRMS. And he's got letters like his after his initials and numbers and letters like Andy Schell does. So it's like one of those things. But anyway, Mike, it's so good to have you in the broadcast. You are with Essential Mortgage Corp. We wanted to hear more about that. But, you know, we talked to Molly earlier. She's from the same area code, Louisiana. Good to have you back on the broadcast for the first time. And I want to have you back a lot more. We're talking, Mike, about someone who's made a difference. You have chaired the committee for the legislative committee, if I have this correct, for the National Association of Mortgage Brokers. You've chaired, you've been involved. I look at this long list of involvement. I mean, I don't know where you've taken time to do loans, but I'm sure you have, because you've been very successful. As I look at your Facebook page, you obviously are enjoying life and doing very, very well. So welcome to the broadcast, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Dave. It's great. It's a great honor to be on your show. And I will tell you, Molly's company, believe it or not, we do a lot of business with them on the wholesale side, and they do a fabulous job. So,
well, isn't that good?
Yeah,
good,
they do a great job.
I know Molly's out there listening, so she's smiling real big there.
Yeah, she's smiling. They do a fantastic job. But yeah, Dave, it's funny how I got involved. I mean, I got involved back in 2006, and I was one of these people that used to sit around and moan and complain and criticize, and you know the type of people I'm talking about, which is about probably 95% of the people.
Yep.
You know, and but what really got me involved, and especially on the national side, was in early 2008 when Fannie and Freddie came out with a level loan price adjustments. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And I went through the roof, okay, because Louisiana, we have the fourth worst credit scores in America, and we're at the bottom in foreclosures. You know, we make our mortgage payments and our car payments. We just don't pay anything else. Okay, but so I tried to fight this, and I single-handedly got our two U.S. senators, who really don't care for one another, to introduce a bill. Yeah, and that's how I got involved, and it just kind of mounted and became the president of the State Trade Association, and got involved with National.
Well, I'm so glad you took time out to be with us. And I got an email, listeners, from Mike just before a little bit earlier in the day. He says, my office building, an OMG, my office building is on fire. And I said, yeah, I was going to say, you know, Mike, your business on fire is doing real well. I was going to introduce you with that. And then I go, I didn't mean it literally, my gosh, but appreciate you taking time and to really help our listeners figure out how to get involved. So you got involved early on with some things that you're a man of action. Obviously, there's those that are doers and there's those that are followers. And you're definitely one of the doers to get involved. And this program and this specific segment is to encourage more people to become doers. What would you say to those that are sitting there going and doing what you and I used to do, just sit and complain about it? And you know, what was the factor other than this regulation, that this change that was coming on? What really was it that you started doing? What were the action steps, Mike, that you took to really start making a difference and not just complaining about things happening?
Well, the first step is you definitely got to join your trade group.
Yeah.
And, guys, and Dave, I got to tell you something. This is a true story. I was in a congressman's office, I think it was 2009, and they asked about the National Trade Group, how many members they had, and I forgot how many it was at that time. I gave them the number, and I kid you not, this congressman said to me, and it hit home so hard, he said, "You know what? Why should we care about your industry when your own industry doesn't care enough to join your trade association?"
Wow.
With all the loan officers out there? And he said, "Pig farmers have more members than you do." That hit me hard. That hit me hard. And I'm going to tell you something. They're absolutely correct. And I'll tell you, but you've got to support your trade groups. And as a mortgage broker and a mortgage banker, if you're not a member of NAM and a member of the MBA, shame on you. I'm a member of both, even though I'm a mortgage broker. Dave Stevens does a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
Don Frohmeyer, the president of NAMB, does a phenomenal job. You know, and you've got to support him. That's number one. Number two, get involved. Get to know your local lawmakers. I mean, get to know your two senators and your congressmen and congresswomen. If so, ask your trade group. Get on a committee. Get involved somehow. But guys, I will tell you the biggest sin that you can commit, okay? And if you don't think for one second that staffers and lawmakers look at the social media sites, they do.
Yeah.
They absolutely do. And it breaks my heart when I see our industry attack the individual, call them names. I mean, I don't care what kind of names you want to call them. But listen, never, ever, ever attack the individual. You attack policy. Attack the policy. So that's like number one.
That's good. And I want to get Joe in on this because there's some different things that are definitely do's and don'ts. So, Joe, I mean, I know you got some thoughts on this.
Well, I was just thinking about some of our prior sessions. Maybe we need to take the advice here.
But absolutely.
We have customers from both the broker side and the banker side, and I came from the banker side. And at the time I was in the Texas Mortgage Bankers, we didn't do a lot with the brokers. And I wanted to get your sense of, are we working better together as two different organizations?
Absolutely. I think I think for the first time, I've been in the industry 33 years, been a broker about half of that. And I will tell you, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. We are on the same page on so many issues. And I think if you take the positive side of what happened with the mortgage crisis, there was a cleansing, as we call it here in New Orleans. There was a cleansing. And we got rid of the bad players. The mortgage brokers left out there today are truly professionals. And I just think that, and just to demonstrate how professional the brokers become, the NAM National Convention's next week. Last year, 2 years ago, we had 200 people show up. All the self-serving people stayed home and didn't care, okay? We have over 1,300 people showing up in Las Vegas. I mean, I'm so proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have so much in common today, and I have a lot of good friends who are mortgage bankers. I mean, Dave Stevens is a good friend, and he's, you know, I think he's done a great job at HUD and all that, but I think that we're all on the same page on so many issues.
And that's good. It's a much more powerful group going together.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've got to get there. And someone who's been helping us, Mike, understand all these issues that are changing is Alice Alvey. I want to get her in on this. Alice, you there?
Yep, I am here.
Okay, good.
Hi. Well, so Mike, what advice would you give to someone who wants to get involved? Are there do's and don'ts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just went over the do's and don'ts. I mean, the big thing is get on a committee, reach out. I mean, for NAM, you just you email president@namb.org. I think that's it. You know, or go to the websites, but get involved, and then or get involved with your state trade association. But you know, and be professional, guys. And I mean, that's the main thing, because you want the lawmakers. I mean, like I said about the social media. Watch what you put on the social media, you know, and because when they read it, you want to be treated like a professional, then we have to act like professionals. And I just can't stress that enough. I mean, the good news is I have been invited back on the Hill, whether it's with regulators or congressmen, to testify again and again and again, because I took this this message in my head. What I decided I was going to do is I was going to be just like them. I was going to be a politician. You know, look at the big, good politicians. They work both sides of the aisle. So I go up there, and I'm a politician just like them. If you have that mindset, you'll be invited back. And you're, you know, and I can attack policy, and you can all attack policy. But, you know, that's – but just get involved.
Now, you brought up social media. I understand you're a social media pro.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a pro, but – I definitely go on there, and let me tell you, after, I mean, it hurt. After the election, guys, look, we live in the greatest country on earth. There is no doubt about it. And it hurt me when I see people on the social media, doom and gloom, we're done, it's it, throwing the towel. No, we're not doom and gloom, we're not done. You know what? You continue to fight. America voted, whether you like it or not, okay? But you learn to live with it, and we move on, and we continue to fight for our policies, and that's why more than ever, with especially what your guest was talking about, you got the CFPB is not going away, Dave, you're right. How do you get involved? And I will tell you, those people, I've met with the CFPB, they're good people. A lot of them are good people. They want to hear from us.
A lot of people came out of our industry to go.
Exactly. And, you know, and just stay involved like that. I mean, it's so vitally important.
Well, now, it takes time. I mean, a lot of people, when you say stay involved, it's not necessarily about cutting the check to be in the association. It's not the money issue. It's time. You know, so,
exactly.
I mean, is it possible to do this if you don't have a lot of time because you're trying to close loans?
Yes, it is. I mean, you can get on a committee. They might meet once a month or once every 2 weeks on an hour telephone conversation, get involved, give your ideas. Now, I really got involved heavily. I actually passed the baton in January of this year because we're expanding our business so much, but I devoted a tremendous amount of time. But, you know, just start with the committee. That's the best way to start and get to know your lawmakers. And, guys, if you don't think it's important not to contribute to the PAC, you've got to contribute to the PAC once you're a member, too. Extremely important.
Alice, you're really involved up there in Michigan and in other places, speaking all over the nation. So, I mean, that's you're someone who's actually living this. But it's really a great challenge because, Alice, you challenged with time constraints as much as anybody. You are flying around the country. I mean, how do you overcome that?
Well, Mike's right. I mean, I was interesting. When I asked somebody to chair a committee, they were very hesitant to go, I don't know, it sounds like a lot of work, I don't know if I can do that. And then, you know, once you put their mind at ease, like Mike said, that it's, well, once a month, we just need your feedback, and maybe we need you to make a phone call here and there. It really makes a difference, even if someone just contributes, you know, less than 30 minutes of their time a month. You know, you get 15 people who can do that, and now the, you know, even a local association has a lot of extra support that they didn't have before, and it can make the difference between a successful event and an event that's a flat tire. So they were pleasantly surprised their first year, and this year when we said, hey, it's time to re-up for the committee, they said, you know what, that's easy. I can do that again.
Yeah, that's good. That's somebody
and you know what? Let me point something out. People don't realize that if every single loan originator in America was a member of the MBA and NAMB, can you imagine the power that we would have on the Hill? People don't realize that. Why is NAR, which I call the 800-pound gorilla who's done a great job, why are they so powerful? They got a million members. People don't understand. People don't see that. And the other real critical piece, too, guys, is everyone that's listening, when you get a call to action, when you are a member, you've got to take the 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and write your letter. It's amazing how many times I've heard from senators and congressmen, Mike, I've never heard about this. I've never heard about this complaint. You're kidding me. You know, so it's because people just don't take the time to get involved. I mean, in the trade groups, they actually write the letters for you. All you got to do is do a cut and paste and change it up a little bit. So
go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, on the at the MBA, they have the Mortgage Action Alliance, which is just what Mike just described. I mean, it's really easy to participate. They just need you to – they need to know how to get in touch with you so that you can then get in touch with your representatives and senators.
Exactly. I mean, they do a great job. And NAM's – I started doing videos for NAM, and now the guy who took over my spot, John Hudson's doing a great job. He's doing his videos. But we're doing everything but actually typing on the keyboard for them. So, but it's just – but if people would just get involved, I just can't stress that enough. And you know what? And if you don't think – and you know how many times I've heard, oh, it's not going to make a difference. It does make a difference. Guys, it does. You have no idea. I single-handedly made a difference in some things. And I'll tell you what, I was proud of myself. Not bragging or being narcissistic, but I was proud
of
myself.
That's why you're
here. You know, and I saw that things can get done if you get involved. And I'll tell you what, I mean, the leaders of these two trade groups that I'm talking about, Dave Stevens is a guy that who, in my opinion, was the best FHA commissioner we've ever had in my 33 years. Yeah. He gets it. He understands it. And he's approachable. He's a human being. He can talk to you. Don Frohmayer, the same guy, a hardworking guy who's a small business owner, just like a lot of people that are listening to the show. And he's volunteering so much of their time. So, you know, they want to hear from people. They welcome people to get involved. So I just can't stress enough, and I'm proud of both of those trade groups. And I'm going to support him every way I can.
Well, there's another guy in this program who's real involved. He's got his certified mortgage banker pin. He wears it to bed, I think. He wears it in the lapel of his pajamas. Andy Schell. So, Andy, I'll let you jump in here.
Well, I was going to say that when you see me at a meeting, and the reason I don't have my CMB pin on is because I did leave it on my pajamas. But the Mike, you're talking about a lot of really interesting things, and a couple of things crossed my mind based on what you've been saying, and I really like the phrase you said about the more pig farmers are active in the trade groups than mortgage professionals are.
Right.
And you just mentioned that realtors have 1 million members, and I was thinking about that, and why is it that mortgage professionals aren't more engaged? Is it the cost of joining the membership? Is it the apathy? Don't feel like they contribute? I mean, why don't mortgage professionals participate better?
I think that's a question we've been asking for many years. I think a lot of them, maybe this isn't their career. Maybe this isn't going to be their lifelong ambition. We don't know. The membership's really inexpensive with NAM. I mean, it's like $50 for just a regular little member. It's very inexpensive. So I just don't think a lot of people, maybe they're not educated, they don't, and until something happens to them, which they will, once QM comes up, and I got to tell you, the last mortgage convention I went to, people came up to me and said, Mike, what's QRM and QM again? I said, oh, my gosh. So maybe when, however that's finalized, maybe some people will wake up and go, when did this happen? But I think that's when you see something really happen is when people tend to get involved. So...
Well, there's always the IDC group out there, the I don't care group.
Yeah, right. People, that's good.
This doesn't matter. The IDCs are prevalent and growing more and more. Hopefully, you know, all of us on this call, Alice accepted, are older, and you know,
she's the young one in the group. Yeah, yeah.
She's 28 still.
Yeah. Gosh, thanks, guys.
Looks like it. Right?
That makes me younger than my children.
No way. I'm a grandpa.
Oh,
congratulations.
Awesome.
Well, yeah. So I wonder if it's a generational thing. If what do we need to do? Do we need to make membership be like joining a video game or playing a video game or something? We got to figure out a way to get people involved so that things can happen in a way that helps everyone.
Well, I think the only way to do it is, in my opinion, is we just just got to keep reaching out. You know, on our side, we try to get our wholesalers involved, you know, do more media blitzes. I mean, shows like yours, Dave, are certainly a big help. And, you know, I just think it's word of mouth. And it's, I don't know the secret, you know, formula, but I will tell you, I mean, I've noticed how our membership has grown, you know, with NAMB, and it's young and old guys like myself. You know, just losing my hair. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are getting involved. But I just think when, you know, they need some shock and awe. And I thought the LO comp was really going to shock and awe everybody.
Yeah,
I really did. And, well, I'll tell you what, we raised an awful lot of money to file a lawsuit, which we did.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that, because that was something you really led the charge on. Get us into the steps you took. I think that there's a lot of people that want to do something, Mike, but it's the how-to that really challenges us.
Yeah, well, basically, I was the vice chair of government affairs, and I convinced the committee and the board members of NAM, basically, that, guys, we need to fight this. And our lobbyist, Roy Deloach, who's a great guy, who's taught me a ton, you know, told me the steps. We hired a law firm, and we went after it. And our main thing was that we thought it was going to be irreparable harm because it wasn't, the LO comp was not a level playing field. Main reason, they're treating the mortgage brokerage firm as the same definition as the loan originator. So we fought it. We basically, believe it or not, the judge really saw it our way, but the betterment of society ruled with the Fed. But so listen, so we lost it. So did I say that's it? No. We found a better way, and now we've had the best year we've ever had in my 14-year history of our company because of LO comp.
Right.
You find that hard to believe, but it's true.
Yeah, that is really interesting. How is that? How did that happen? I mean, let's talk about your business for a minute. You run a mortgage brokerage company. How did that happen?
Well, the way it happened was we set our compensation 210 basis points. Just full disclosure here, set it at 210 basis points, and we're giving these lender credits on FHA. I mean, on 3.25, a couple weeks ago, the price was 105.5 on a wholesale level. We're getting our 210 basis points. The rest we're giving lender credits. And my company, we're owned by the largest real estate firm in the Gulf South, so we're an affiliated business. That's Latter & Blum. We're pretty big. Been around since 1916, but our realtors have sold it, and we have had the greatest year. We've issued over $650,000 this year in credits towards borrowers, where some of our mortgage banker friends and banker friends aren't issuing the credits. So, yeah,
so
you've
turned that into a positive. You've really
turned into a absolutely turned into a positive. Look, what choice do you have? You know, I'm going to continue to fight, but I'm going to try to find ways to make it work. Look, our job, like I put on a Facebook post, look, our job, everybody, is to put people in homes. You know, make sure they stay in their homes, okay? Make sure they're qualified and, you know, and follow the rules and continue to fight and continue to support your trade groups. And I think, you know, I'm very optimistic. I am. I'm optimistic because I have a lot of confidence in our two trade groups, the people that are running them, and you know, maybe I'm being naive, but I'm optimistic.
You have done so well with social media, and I think it's those video clips. I remember watching before I met you, and I really, you know, and I really think this goes to speaking making a difference. A lot of people, I didn't know Mike Anderson, I didn't know you before this, but I started watching your video clips, and you know what? I got to know you through those. You know, you take your cell phone, set on your dashboard, and you would just share your thoughts, Mike. How did you overcome the camera, the how do I look, or all the other things that hold so many people back?
You know what? I just did it. I mean, I never have a script. I can't read a script. If I read a script, it's horrible. So what I would say in my videos came
like
from my heart.
Budget.
Yeah, it
yeah,
came
see,
from
there
my
you
heart.
Go. There you go. You hit the heart. It comes out of your deep in you, your heart. You care about this stuff.
Yeah.
Dave,
I'm too old to do anything else.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I wanted to suggest one way to grow membership in these in the PACs and within the trade organizations is to make people watch those videos, because there was a lot of passion coming through those videos.
That is so true. I mean, you saw those, Joe, didn't you?
Oh, I loved them.
Yeah, and Mike, I mean, that is what there's. Mike, you're a leader. I'm writing a lot of articles on the same thing, the same publication you do, National Mortgage Professional. And I want to talk about one of the latest articles you just published. We just got a. Oh my gosh, we're almost out of time. But we're. I want to talk briefly about that because it's a passion. But we got to have you back because we are flat getting out of time here. So just looked at the clock. What I would like to talk about is that article you just published real quickly and where they can go find it.
It's in the National Mortgage Professional Magazine.
And
where, it was called, it's called Why I Love Being a Mortgage Broker and Will Never Jump Ship.
That talks about the passion, and that's exactly what we need to hear about. It's so obvious, and Mike, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. It's what happens to the time we get a good guest like you on here, and it's gone. Folks, stay tuned. Next week, we'll be back on the broadcast. We've got just continue one great guest after another. And if you want to tune in and watch this, listen to this broadcast again, share it with others, be sure to go to our website, LickItOnLending.com, www.LickItOnLending.com. Check it out on Facebook, Twitter. You can check out my last name, any number of places. You can get access to it. We appreciate you being a part of the broadcast, everyone. Tell others about it like Molly has. We appreciate you. Have a great week, and talk to you next week.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Crowline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week and thank you for listening.